I invite you to pray with me, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, O Holy One, for in you is wholeness and peace. Amen. So as I said earlier, today we celebrate Pentecost. It's one of the Christian church's holy days. After Jesus had ascended to God again, Jesus' disciples, filled with God's Holy Spirit, shared Jesus' message of love and liberation to all who would listen. On that day, Scripture tells us that a wild spirit encompassed the early Christian movement, shaking everything up, breaking down barriers that separated humankind, fire and wind turning everything right side up again, uniting the separated, inviting everyone to be a part of God's beloved community. I believe that there is no better day to celebrate the diversity of the kingdom of God than on Pentecost. Separately, our differences are too diverse to list. But when we put them together, when we come together, our individual uniqueness creates this beautiful kaleidoscope that we understand is the body of Christ. Sadly, today we see people and nations, including our own, torn apart by racism and religious chauvinism, by human-made borders and cultural bigotry and more, so much more. We have become a society of us versus them, where the other is to be feared and never trusted, where the other is to be controlled, oftentimes by putting barriers in place and taking away human freedoms, frequently done in the name of morality or supposedly for the greater good. You know, this isn't a new occurrence, but I would have hoped, perhaps we would have hoped, that by now we would have learned from our past mistakes, that these recurrent atrocities and the swinging pendulum that continues to move people and groups from inside to outside and outside to inside the circle of acceptance, and yet here we are, repeating history again with chilling efficiency and cruelty. So Pentecost for us is a reminder that God's Holy Spirit is given freely, given to all persons with no deference to race or culture or socioeconomic standing or gender identity or any other distinguishing mark that you and I and the rest of humanity use to differentiate one person from another. Through Pentecost, God says to us, we are one. On the day of Pentecost, reported in the book of Acts, a portion of which we read together today, people gathered in Jerusalem from all corners of the Roman Empire. They represented competing economic interests, diverse cultures, a myriad of languages, and differing religious traditions. Nevertheless, we are told God's grace was given freely to anyone who heard the message preached by Peter. And thousands, we're told, thousands converted to following the way of God understood through the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. These strangers and immigrants who converged on Jerusalem returned to their homes and spread the message of Christ. And the church began to spread like wildfire, engulfing dry brush. At its inception, the church was a diverse group of people who hailed from a variety of cultures and languages. And it was in the midst of that that God sent God's Holy Spirit upon God's people. The message of Christ has not changed. But those of us who claim to be his followers through these millennia haven't always done a really good job of living up to the message. You see, Jesus taught us that there are no eyes that we will look into where we will not see God there. No one. It may be that the greatest temptation facing us is losing sight of the fact that through the lens of Christ there is neither Jew nor free, there is neither slave nor Greek, male nor female. Understanding the nuances of that in our society, understanding and living the nuances of that in our personal relationship is way too easy to overlook. I know it is for me. In God's kingdom, there is no such thing as an illegal alien or an underdocumented worker. We who have died in Christ and are resurrected in baptism with him are a new people, bound in love and service, not just to one another, but to all of humanity. So God's Holy Spirit is given freely, without respect for citizenship or socioeconomic class, and God continues today, not just Pentecost years ago. God continues today to pour God's Spirit on all of humanity. We also know that in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul tells us that all of creation has been groaning until now. All of creation has been working in labor for salvation, not salvation as some eternal afterlife someday, but salvation as coming into wholeness and unity in God with one another. Through the teaching of the Apostle John, we know that offering the hope of salvation to people of one tradition, that implies that it might not include a certain few, or a select many, or even the earth, that goes against the fundamental interrelatedness of the foundation of creation. How can I claim to be whole if others are suffering? How can we claim to be well as a nation if some are in pain and in poverty and oppressed? How can we be healthy as a human race if the body of the very earth itself is infected? There are certain brokennesses in our lives and in our relationships and the world that will not be healed until we together as one are healed. The wholeness that Jesus teaches, the wholeness that God provides, comes through relationship together, not through separation or fragmentation. So Scripture teaches us, and our experience show us, that God's Spirit gives life to all things. All things. The Spirit moves within us and among us, interceding and giving us wisdom to aim for what is best for the world. When we are able to live from that Spirit, when we act from that wisdom, when we seek to recognize the distinct gifts that every person brings to the world, especially those who may hold radically different opinions on issues that we believe are vitally important, we seek to recognize the gifts every person brings. Because wholeness comes through relationship, not through separation. So as followers of the way of Christ, what we may not do is treat one another as expendable. What we may not do is leave sisters and brothers and sibling hungry and thirsty, bereft of family or honor, without voice at the table. It is not easy. But to commit ourselves to being one with our neighbor means that we look for the places first within ourselves, and then within our communities, and then within the world, places that are in need of reconciliation. And we dive into the healing and wholeness that God, in God's grace, is bringing into being. You see, to commit ourselves to being one with those who suffer means that we participate not only in racial reconciliation, but also in reparations. That we participate not just in sharing resources and passing laws that narrow the gulf between rich and poor. When we see signs that reconciliation is happening and the fruit of God's Spirit is growing in those around us or within ourselves, we don't stop there. We continue to look for ways to bring about God's justice and shalom for the good of all. Through God's Spirit at Pentecost, we find that diversity then becomes a blessing and not a source of alienation. There is no in or out, no superior or inferior, only the democracy of the Spirit enabling both the least and the most. Because we're not so different in the one thing that matters most. We're formed of the same dust and stars, filled with the same essential goodness from God, called by the Holy to move more deeply into that reality together. So this day, I pray that every moment of our living brings God's flames of Pentecost to life in the world. Amen.